The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and above the fabulous Alto Forno Restaurant. We've been there, hard to believe, a little more than a year now. We've been around that corner, around that area of the North Shore Mall for almost 40 years. Hard to believe that. My dad started this business 50 years ago in 1968 in the basement of the house. No, I was not in the business back then. I was 2 when he started, which makes me 52 years old. Yes, you can do the math. But I've had 28 years of experience in this business now. Hard to believe when I first came into this business, I couldn't tell you the difference between a compact disc and a certificate of deposit. They were both CDs to me. I couldn't tell you the first thing about interest rates, about stocks, about bonds, about mutual funds, about investing, about financial planning. I knew nothing. I was a green guy coming out of Babson College, lived through October of 1987 when people were running around crazy in the hallways that the market had dropped 20%, and I had no idea what the heck they were doing. No idea. I was probably busy watching like Hawaii Five-0 or Magnum PI or something like that. Whatever happened to be on, watching another rerun of Top Gun on television. But I was a marketing guy back at Babson College in 1989. That's when I graduated. And when I got out of the business, frankly, I did not come into the financial services business, not me. No, I wasn't going to have anything to do with finances. I was a marketing guy, an advertising guy, a sales guy. You know, I love to get up and talk and be in front of a microphone. No kidding. That's what I'm doing today, is in front of a microphone. Still love to do that. Actually, when I got out of college, my first job out of college was to be the dining room manager at the Ship Restaurant. Remember the Ship Restaurant in Linfield? No longer the Ship Restaurant. I was a waiter there for a long time. I used to work in the bar. I played piano there in the lounge. And then they asked me to become restaurant manager. We used to do this. Interesting story about the Ship Restaurant, for those of you that remember it. Every Saturday, back in the 80s, the Red Sox would play Saturday baseball games at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't see that happen anymore. All the games seem to be at night these days. Whenever the Sox had a home game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, after the game would be over, after the players showered, whatever, at dinner time, Mike Greenwell and Wade Boggs would come for dinner at the Ship Restaurant, sat at the same table, brought their spouses with them. Sometimes Marty Barrett would bring a spouse as well. They'd sit at the same table, had the same waiter, actually same waitress, that took care of them every single Saturday. And she was, as much as she was a waitress, she was also their gatekeeper. She tried to keep people away. Remember, no one had cell phones back then. People just wanted to accost them and get autographs. Well, she was really good about managing that, and that's where they loved coming to the Ship Restaurant. No, Wade Boggs did not get chicken for dinner. Everyone always asked that question. You know, I think he had that before the game. I know he didn't have it afterwards, but I will tell you, Mike Greenwell drinks a lot of Jack Daniels. He would put the Jack Daniels away like you wouldn't believe. But that is 30 years ago, maybe even more. We've all grown up and we're a little bit more responsible in the way we handle our alcohol sometimes, and the way we handle certain things in life. Sometimes our liver or our heart doesn't allow us to be as crazy as we once were either. But anyways, we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we do, try to do here each and every Sunday morning. Give you a little piece of the action, a little piece of the story, a little bit of everything that's going on in the world and how it impacts your lifestyle, your money. Well, there's lots of things that are going on. As you well know, if you followed the stock market, the month of October in the stock market was a challenging one. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Certainly on the downside when you got your statement at the end of October. And I think I told you last week that you weren't going to be very happy when you opened up your statement. You're going to go, oh my God, I lost some money. Now, What many people began to realize is that while the dollar amount that they may have lost in the month of October didn't look all that promising, when you actually looked at it from a percentage standpoint, it wasn't down nearly as large of a percentage in many cases as was the market. And that's because many people who invest in both stocks and bonds, in large cap and small cap, in international, in a variety of different type of fixed income securities. And it's really interesting to see how asset allocation, having money in a variety of different asset classes, really protects on the downside too. Now, understand, when the stock market goes up, when you hear that the S&P 500 is up 10% for the year, and you're in an asset allocation-based portfolio, chances are you're not going to be up as much as 10% either. But nor will you be down as much when the S&P 500 is down quite large. It's a tempered portfolio. But one of the things I wanted to share with you is the fact that it's rather interesting. I mean, when people invest, they should be investing. We all say we're going to invest for the long term, right? And if you're going to go and buy an investment, certainly people that try to do it themselves, many people look to Morningstar, they look to Bloomberg, they look to Lipper reports and all sorts of different research tools that many of the brokerage firms offer. There's all sorts of ways in which you can examine the investments you want to buy. And you know, on this radio station, we don't talk about individual stocks. We don't recommend them at all. In fact, I don't think anybody, unless you're buying $1 million worth of a stock and it represents 1% of your portfolio, that means like you have a $100 million net worth. I don't see there's any business that you have buying individual stocks, because you can't get the data, the research, the understanding, the ongoing ups and downs of what's going on in that stock's company. You just don't know it. I'd rather much more leverage a portfolio manager, someone that it has billions of dollars at their disposal to build a portfolio of a collection of investments designed to benefit investors, but also focused on achieving a particular goal, something that has triggers in place. It knows when to sell. It knows when to buy. It knows why it wants to buy and why it wants to sell. It knows what to look for in earnings reports and day-to-day operations. The managers go and visit the companies. They meet the managers. They walk the lines. They understand what's going on. You and I don't have that ability to do so. I mean, do you think now is a great time to buy Apple or Tesla or Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Boeing? I don't know. And how are you going to make a decision? Because Cramer said so? Or because you read a quote in a Facebook post? Or you read an article in Barron's? That's enough reasoning for you to put your money at risk with an individual stock? I don't think so. I think that is some of the most dangerous things that investors do, is they try to make investment decisions based purely on speculation, or they'll call it informed speculation. It's like, geez, I hadn't thought about this, but I read it on Facebook, read it in Barron's or the New York Times, and now because I've read that one story, that one piece of information gives me enough confidence to take a flyer on a stock. Folks, that's not smart. That's not a good move. That's not the way you approach things. Portfolio managers have, they have numbers of employees exclusively dedicated to researching a stock or a collection of stocks. And they get paid a lot of money to do it. They have the ability to hop on a plane when they see that Amazon announces that they're going to build two new headquarters in New York and Northern Virginia. And they begin to go out and they say, what's going to happen to the environment here when there's a new headquarters built in New York City and Northern Virginia? What will it impact? What companies will benefit from it? You and I don't have the ability to do that. Sure, we can read stories, we can read news articles, but that's not the rationale to buy a stock. Let the professionals do it. Because one thing for certain, when you're going out in looking to buy investments, and I recommend mutual funds and exchange-traded funds for sure, these packaged products, one of the things people do is they say, well, let's take a look at the 3-year track record, the 5-year track record, the 10-year track record, the 15-year track record. How long has this manager been in place? What are the expense ratios on these funds? How easily accessible is it to find the pricing on this security? All of those pieces of information that you look for all get thrown out the window the day after you buy it. And that's what we see with individual investors. It's the reason why individual investors have such a poor long-term 20-year average track record. The average investor, according to several studies that have been done, including Bloomberg, BlackRock, and others, show that the average investor, the person that does it themselves over a 20-year basis, has an average rate of return of 2.7%. Do you know why? It's because the average investor isn't disciplined. The average investor is always trying to find something better. The average investor isn't willing to set it and forget it and trust in professional money management. Because as you begin to look at what's gone on over the markets, look, I've got a report here in front of me that's as of the 12th of November, which is a couple days ago. Remember, the market dropped almost 600 points on that Monday morning, Veterans Day Monday morning. Well, I've got the report in front of me that shows how is the market doing up until that date. And on a three-month basis, if you were investing in large growth funds, the technology companies, the big technology companies, they're down on average almost 6% in just 3 months. Value companies, they're down about 2%. But what about the small cap companies? That's the companies where people say, that's where I can make my money. Those are those startups. Those are these new hot idea companies that could be extraordinarily successful, but could also fail as well. A lot of them grow based on speculation. They grow based on what people believe they could do while the company has still yet to make a nickel. Some of these investments are down close to 10% in just 3 months. 10% in just 3 months. But here's what's rather interesting. Some people may say to themselves, well, 10%, I wouldn't want to touch anything like that. It's down 10%. Over the last 3 years, remember, we wanted to buy long-term investments, right? Over the past 3 years, did you know that they're averaging over the past 3 years close to 11%, according to this market barometer sheet that I get from LPL Research? That's per year, 11% per year. That's, call it 30% cumulatively. So you want big wins, you have to be willing to settle for tough down periods too. Do you want to trade that environment? Absolutely not. I think that's a foolish strategy to consider. But what's hot right now? If we look at over the past 3 months, what sector is hot? Do you want to know the best place to invest right now in the sectors? Get this. Best place to invest is what are called consumer staples. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different categories, sector categories within the S&P 500. Those are the broad categories that are there. The best place to invest based on energy, materials, industrials, healthcare, financials, info technology, real estate, etc. Best place to invest, consumer staples. Now, what is a consumer staple? What is a consumer staple? A staple. A staple. It's things we need. Toilet paper, toothpaste. You need Saran wrap. You need clothes. You need just health. Just think of food and shelter and things like that. Stuff we need. We need food. That's consumer staples. No matter the market environment, we still need to brush our teeth, don't we? Well, it doesn't matter how often we tell our kids to do that. We still try. We still need to wear deodorant. We still need to put on underwear every day and buy socks and wear boots and wear a coat when it gets cold. Those are consumer staples. Now, doesn't necessarily mean you need to go buy a mink coat, which may not be considered a consumer staple. That's more of a luxury item. But consumer staples like a coat or pants, not a name brand pants. My kids can't seem to own anything that doesn't have, those are my Uggs. Why can't they just be your boots? Or those are my, everything has a name to it. Consumer staples are consumer staples. All right, lots more to talk about today. We just had midterm elections that have gone on over the past week. I happened to get a report this past week from a guy by the name of Andy Friedman. Now, Andy Friedman is not my brother. I actually do have a brother. His name is Andrew Friedman, but this is Andy Friedman with an IED. Andy Friedman runs a website called The Washington Update. He writes and he writes about what's going on Capitol Hill. He's got some perspectives that I want to share with you. Want to talk more about the markets. I want to also tell you about why you should be very, very cautious about investing any money in the next few weeks. because it could be a very scary time to do that as well. Lots to think about, lots more financial advice in a language you can understand. We'll be back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a lovely Sunday. I believe, next weekend, let me see if I get that right. Yeah, next weekend we will have passed Thanksgiving. Jeez. It is flying by. My producer Tony and I were sitting here earlier talking about how quickly life passes us by. I was telling the story about just this past week. I was away in New York City at a conference, and I don't know, somehow it came up, the fact that I use a CPAP machine to sleep. I love my CPAP machine. And he says, how long have you been using your CPAP machine? I said, I don't know, it's like 4 or 5 years or so. And Laura says to me, Mark, you got that after Noah was born? Noah was born 16 years ago. So clearly I'm losing my capacity to understand history and time and everything else. But man, time does just fly right by. And Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday. Hope you'll it is my favorite holiday, probably most people's favorite holiday. But we so look forward to Thanksgiving. It's a great time to get together with family. By the way, I was in New York City this past weekend. They're already getting the streets ready for the parade. I was walking up by Central Park. The bleachers are starting to go up on the streets, and they are gearing up and getting ready for Thanksgiving Day parade. There'll be lots of football games to watch, lots of turkey to eat. We fry turkeys now. Have you ever done the fried turkey thing? Have you tried it? It's our new way of doing it. I don't have to wait 6 hours to eat a turkey. 45 minutes, done. It's the way to do it. It tastes really, really yummy. We'll have plenty more than turkey at my house, too. So lots and lots of food. Anyways, I told you when we got back that one of the things that we try to do here on this show is deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. And oftentimes some of that financial advice translates into what's happening out of Washington. And there's a gentleman by the name of Andy Friedman, not related to me. He spells his last name I-E-D-M-A-M-A-N, Friedman. That's not two E's and a D. It's an I-E and a D. But Andy has been working for an organization called the Washington Update. And he goes around the country talking about perspectives from Washington, as he's one of these unique people that has a connection to pretty much every insider, every politician, every lobbyist. He knows everybody over there. And he gets out and he tries to prognosticate what's to come. So he recently put out this paper. It's short. It's called The 2018 Midterm Elections, What Comes Next? So I grabbed a few paragraphs from this thing, and I thought I'd just read it to you rather than try to just summarize it, because he writes really well. His language is written in a manner that everybody can understand. And so let me read these couple paragraphs to you, then we'll kind of talk about it a little after. This is what he thinks about what's happening following these recent midterm elections. He says, the 2000 midterms are over, and the messages, well, they're mixed. As we predicted, the Republicans held the Senate, while the Democrats took the House, but by a lesser margin than some others had expected. President Trump's campaigning, believe it or not, in statewide elections helped Republicans extend their Senate majority. But in the House, greater numbers of city and suburban dwellers chose Democrats to represent their local districts. Now, Democrats also picked up 7 governorships, lowering the Republican advantage in the governorship area from 26 to 24, meaning there are 26 states that have Republican representation, 24 states with Democrat representation. But Republicans appear to have retained governorships in the 2 largest battleground states of Ohio and Florida as of now. There's a recount in process. Democrats also picked up over 300 seats in state legislatures. That's significant. Control of state governments is particularly important this election and next, as following the 2020 national census, each state will redraw the boundaries of House districts within its borders. Those redrawn districts will remain in place through 2030 and will have an outsized effect on which party will control the House in the upcoming decade. So that pickup, you know, the Democrats might be happy that they picked up seats in the House, but what isn't really being talked about is the 300 seats that they've picked up across the country in state legislatures. That's pretty significant. Before the new Congress is seated, though, the existing Congress must finish up work in this lame duck session. Their primary task is to fund the federal government for 2019. If Congress does not pass appropriations legislation to fund the government by December 7th, then on December 8th, the government will shut down. An appropriations bill requires 60 affirmative votes in the Senate to overcome a filibuster. Because the Republicans hold 51 seats in the existing Senate, some Democratic support is going to be needed for passage. Now, President Trump has demanded that the appropriations bill provide sufficient funds to begin constructing a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. And Democrats have made clear their strong opposition to that objective. The Democratic takeover over in the House in the next Congress adds some urgency to the president's demands that the matter must be settled now. Thus, here's the reality. There is the possibility of the parties failing to reach agreement on funding legislation that cannot be dismissed. If that scenario appears plausible in the weeks to come, as December 7th approaches, it could truly roil the markets, which prefer to see Washington handle ministerial matters without much fanfare. In 2013, you may recall, that's the last time congressional disagreement caused a shutdown. The market suffered a temporary downturn. But a temporary downturn. But on the other hand, by now, markets and investors might be inured to such congressional antics and simply just shrug off the shutdown as a business as usual with no long-term consequences. In any events, investors should be prepared for possible volatility if December 7th approaches without a meaningful prospect of congressional agreement. And so that's Andy's perspective on that. And he usually, I mean, I think that's kind of language everyone can understand. It's tough. And some of those words, filibusters, and some of those other words are big boy words that we learn in civics class in eighth grade and then forget about what they mean. But at the end of the day, I think he really kind of whittles it all down so that we can begin to understand some of the issues that are at hand. Now, this is just one of the issues that will play some consequence on the markets. The other one right now is this U.S.-China trade challenge. Some days you hear that U.S. and China are working really hard to work through a trade agreement. Some days you hear that they're throwing it out the window. The days you hear they're throwing it out the window, the market goes down. The days you hear they're trying to work something out, the market goes up, and it goes back and forth and back and forth. Now, what's rather interesting is who we're taking advice from. It's, you know, is this firsthand advice? Is the president saying this is what's going on? Is the president of China saying this is what's going on? No. It's reporters trying to read between the lines at news conferences and research and people that they know to try to figure out what's really happening. I think we just have to sit back on this one. We cannot try to predict what the trade war situation will, the trade battling situation will look like in the months to come. It's not worth the speculation. And if you are a long-term investor, and that's what we are, that's what you should be, that's what the strategy of investing to achieve, to try to grow your wealth so you can achieve those long-term income needs that you might have in retirement, you got to just let this one go. You can't try to pick it. You can't try to speculate it. You can't try to say, well, if the trade war fails, here's who's going to benefit, here's who's going to get hurt. Come on now. It's not the way that all works. I mean, I think back, frankly, you know, right now in the news of this past week, the wildfires in California. Now, everybody's talking about devastating wildfires. Is this the first time there's been wildfires in California? No. Is this the first time, though, so many celebrities' homes have been burned down? I don't know, but you certainly, that's what I'm hearing about more than anything else, about all the celebrities' homes that have been burnt down, not about the average person that's being impacted by this. And this is making the news of the wildfires continue a little bit longer than normal, but that too will go away. Think about what's already gone away out of the news. 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, we had a mass firing in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. It made the news for a day and a half. How many stories are you hearing on that now? Folks, news like this, whether it's the trade war, whether it's fires, whether it's a shooter in Pittsburgh, it's terrible, but this stuff goes away. It's not part of your daily conversation. I know here, even around my house, around the office, how many of us here in Massachusetts are talking about the wildfires in California? But if you lived in California, would you be talking about it? Of course you would. So understand, the world that we live, the United States is very regionalized. When we hear the things on the news tries to tell us about things that are going on that are the most important things that are going on within the country. And they can shift. They can change. As soon as something better comes along, there's another story. We break to go to Seattle, Washington. We break to go to Columbus, Ohio. We break to go to Jacksonville, Mississippi. Or Jackson, Mississippi. Not Jacksonville. It's Jacksonville, Florida. Jackson, Mississippi. Pretty good, huh? Fourth grade geography. Thank you, Mr. Lampropoulos, that I can do that. but that's the reality, folks. You have to stop worrying about the day-to-day sound bites. Some of the stuff that goes around this country is terrible, devastating. You can't even comprehend some of the stuff. What we don't hear about, though, is some of the great things that are happening. Some of the great news that happens all around this country. And we do live in one great country. The freedoms that we have, the ability for us to do what we want, to be able to hold a job, to be able to spend time with our family, and it's the freedoms that we have are tremendous. And I think we oftentimes take that for granted. We also take for granted some of the great businesses that exist today that put a large number of people to work, that employ them, create an environment so that they can put food on the table for their families, to contribute to society. We don't hear those stories. Nobody wants to talk about those stories. It's all about the bad news. Folks, when you're investing, when you're planning for the future, when you're trying to put money aside that will be there for you down the road, you got to trust in this country. You have to believe in the country. This country is not going to end up like the next Russia or Poland or some other companies that have gone through tough times. We will go through hills and valleys for sure. But from an economic standpoint, this country is stronger than ever. And as long as you're investing in the stock market, you are along for the ride. You get out and you can watch the ride happen on its own. Hope you're having a great, great Sunday. Hopefully you've bought your turkey. And I want to let you know, if you bought a frozen one, might be a good day to take it out and start letting it defrost. Those things take a long, long time to defrost. How big's the turkey you're buying this year? We got 25 people coming to our house for Thanksgiving, but we will have more than just a turkey. So I still think we'll probably buy something like an 18-pound turkey or something like that. Nothing too crazy big, because we'll also have a roast. We'll also have a salmon. You know, it's one of those things that everybody says, I don't eat meat. I don't eat this. I'm gluten-free. I don't eat vegetarian. And it's like, I don't know. When I grew up, my mom told me, you eat what's put on the table or you just don't eat. It was that simple. And that I was okay with that. I always find it interesting that we, as the host of the house, that hosting Thanksgiving, people say, yes, I'm coming to your house for Thanksgiving, but just want to let you know, I don't eat this, I don't eat this, you'll need to have this kind of wine for me, you'll need to be sure that we have... Really? Now, to my brother-in-law's, to appreciate my brother-in-law, he is vegetarian. And he says, I don't want you to make any accommodations for me. I'm going to bring some of my own food. He and his wife make their own stuff, and they bring it so that there's enough for everybody at the table. And, you know, I do make a couple things that are vegetarian, of course. I do a corn chowder. Yes, I do cook for Thanksgiving. Everyone makes, we make a kind of like a spicy corn chowder that we make. It's very good. He likes it. Last year, though, I made the mistake of making it with chicken broth. Wasn't supposed to do that. I meant to use vegetable broth. I apologized. But at any rate, I do a lot of cooking for Thanksgiving. It's not just Laura. We are a team effort in that one. Anyways, Thanksgiving is, like I said, Thursday, but the year of 2018 will unwind itself in about 6 weeks. Have you done your Christmas shopping? Have you realize that Hanukkah is just 2.5 weeks away? Holidays are coming up soon. CVS and all of the drugstores already have their Christmas stuff out. Walmart, Target, the shopping mall, they're all with their Christmas decorations up and rearing and ready to go. But I think it's kind of interesting. How much shopping will you do at the malls and how much of it will you do online? Think about how you would have responded to that question 10 years ago and how you think about it today. You know, you think to yourself, geez, I'm thinking Hanukkah's what starts like the 4th of December. I'm like, wow. I got to like the 2nd to do all my shopping because free shipping will show up on my doorstep. And besides, Hanukkah is 8 days long. If it comes a few days late, that's okay. I'm covered. So a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. Early in the show, I told you that November and December, especially now in November and through December, investing in this stock market, despite the volatility that exists in the stock market, could be a dangerous and costly endeavor, especially if you're investing in what are called non-retirement accounts. Let's say you recently got an inheritance, you received a bonus, you have some cash that you've been sitting around and you say, I want to invest in some mutual funds. Well, I talk about this every year around this time. And it's a strategy that we employ in our office for all of our clients, so our clients need not worry about it. But it's the idea of what are called capital gain distributions. I want you to imagine something. Imagine that you decided to invest $100,000. And the day after you invested, you received a $10,000 dividend or distribution. You might say, well, that's nice. But the distribution that you got took your $100,000 and brought it down to $90,000. Let's say the dividend or this distribution was built in to the price of the share. So all of a sudden, you invested $10,000. You invested $100,000. You got $10,000. You said, well, I don't want the money. I want to reinvest it. So you reinvested it back into the investment. It's still worth $10,000 because remember, the price of the investment dropped $10,000 to coincide with your $10,000, and you have to pay tax on it. That's called a capital gain distribution. And if you're not careful, if you don't understand the way your mutual funds are structured, you could find yourself with an enormous tax bill this year. In many cases, there are mutual funds that are actually, let's say you owned a mutual fund that was, let's say you owned a small cap fund. Small cap funds this year are down, as I look at this report, small cap funds this year could be down around 3%. So if you invested in a small cap fund, let's say you invested $100,000 in the beginning of the year, and now it's worth $97,000. If you sold the fund at the end of the year, you'd have a $3,000 tax loss, right? Because you sold it $3,000, you invested $100,000, it's worth $97,000, you just have a $3,000 tax loss. But let's say you say, nah, I'm not going to do that. And instead, the fund pays a capital gain distribution that's equal to, let's say, 10% of the value of your fund. And that capital gain distribution, this is complicated. I know this is complicated. And it's one of the reasons why we encourage people to work with financial advisors. But let's say they announce a 10% capital gain distribution. That means that of the $97,000 that you have in your investment, $9,700 of it, of that $97,000, is going to be paid out in the form of an extra dividend distribution, whatever you want to call it. But it will also cause the fund to drop by $9,700. Now, if you reinvest the money, reinvest your dividend, that's fine. You'll still be at $97,000, but all of a sudden, 10% of your investment just became taxable. So would you prefer to pay tax on $9,700 or take a $3,000 tax loss? That's a decision. There's a financial benefit for maybe getting out of the fund and maybe buying it back 30 days later or doing something else with the money. But you have to be able to be ready to think about that stuff, to be able to take the time to look at those. And one of the reasons I tell you this story is that this year, despite the fact that the market is flat, up a little bit, I mean, I don't know how the market will end up for the year, but right now it's doing about flat for the year. Because of all of the volatility, of all of the ups and the downs, and we've had some down periods this year and up periods this year, there are, from a list that I have, it 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 funds so far this year that have said they're going to pay a distribution of 30%. So imagine you invested $100,000 a year or so ago. Today, your investment is still $100,000. Let's say it was flat for the year. But this fund is going to pay 30% of your investment. You're going to have to pay taxes on 30% of your investment. It's called a capital gain distribution. That's expensive. But if you sold out of it, you'd have to pay nothing because you just walk away flat. Do you want to pay 30% or do you want to walk away flat and maybe buy something else? Do you know how to make those decisions? Do you know how to rationally examine that? Because that will happen. I can tell you this year when you go to do your taxes in April and the tax preparer says to you, well, you know, taxes are going to be a little higher this year than they have been in the past. And they say, Maybe you got a refund last year of $1,000, and they say this year you owe $3,000. You go, what? And you'll blame it on the president. I know you'll blame it on the president for sure. You know, that tax plan didn't work. That was stupid. No, a lot of it has to do with capital gain distributions and you not understanding the implications of what you own in your portfolio. I'm going to tell you, there's a website that I go to, and it updates daily. So like I said, there are 17 funds right now that have reported capital gain distributions expected to be paid of 30% or higher. Now, when do they pay these? Well, it can be anywhere between now and the end of the year. Oftentimes, they're sometime in December. Some are early in December. Some are on the last day of the year. You got to figure that out, but you want to make your decision before that date happens. After the date passes, too late. No takesies, backsies. You've got to live with it. So, of the 17 funds that I've listed, there's one fund. Where's the big one that I saw here? So if you own the Victory Institutional Diversified Stock Fund, they've actually reported this. They're going to be paying a 60%. So think about this. You invested $100,000 in the Victory Institutional Diversified Stock Fund, according to and I'm not saying whether this fund is bad, good. I have no opinion on the fund. I don't even know what's in the fund. But they're going to pay a distribution of 60%, which means $60,000 of your $100,000 investment will be subject to tax. Okay, there's another one, Harbor International. Another one here, Pioneer Real Estate. Principal Large Cap Growth over 40%. There are some big numbers here. Go to this website. It's called Cap Gains Valet. CapGainsValet.com. There's four little boxes that pop up on the screen. One says resources. Click on the resources button, and there is a fund that says, I think it's like the dogs of the year. And it'll list the funds that are going to pay big capital gain distributions. Those that are paying 20% or more, I've got a list right now, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28 different mutual funds. And some of them are names you know, that you probably own. If you've been listening to shows in the past, if you've listened to some of these some of these financial shows that actually give you the alphabet soup and mutual fund list of here's what you should own, some of those funds are on this list, and they could be extraordinarily expensive and offer up some big surprises to you. Now, that's over 20%. The number of funds that are offering distributions upwards in the 10% range, It's in the hundreds. Folks, you need to know what you're in for. If you've got a portfolio, an investment portfolio that's, just say, is $200,000 in mutual funds, you could find yourself with $20,000 to $30,000 of that investment subject to tax. That's added to your income. Now, it may be at the long-term gain capital, long-term gains rate. It may be at a short-term gains rate. You'll have to see what it is within each of your mutual funds. But if I'm scaring you and you're a little concerned, you might be asking yourselves, should I be doing this on my own? But I'll also tell you this. If you're working with a financial advisor and they're not communicating with you to let you know that they are working on this kind of stuff, I'd ask yourself, what am I paying for? Because, you know, this whole, you know, paying 1% for advice and assets under management, that's the whole new thing, right? Everyone pays 1%. Well, my contention that I make to financial advisors all around the world when I get out and speak is, I said, what are you doing for your 1%? Simply buying an investment portfolio and doing nothing and just hoping that it will do better than others or hoping that it will meet objectives is not enough to justify 1%. But knowing that there's someone in your corner that's looking out at your personal investment portfolio and seeing how that investment portfolio weaves into everything else in your financial life to determine what will the tax liability be and what could we do, if anything, and maybe it doesn't make sense to do anything, but what could we do or explore to make a change to reduce your tax liability? Because, you know, paying taxes is patriotic, but paying less taxes under the code, if you can, is still patriotic. Folks, you need to be careful here. This could be an extraordinarily dangerous year for mutual fund investors. Now, some people will say, well, then, Mark, why don't we just invest in exchange-traded funds? Those are those passive types of investments where you get to buy you get to buy basically an index or something that mirrors an index and doesn't pay capital gain distributions. It is a reason why many people choose to invest there. But I also believe that a combination of both what are called passive investing, which is this exchange-traded fund arrangement, and active investing, allowing managers to pick and choose which stocks to hold in a portfolio, is equally as important. At Friedman Financial, we generally build portfolios that have a combination of both. But we are very well aware and very well in tune as to what the tax implications might be of owning certain securities, so that we have to determine, does it make sense for you? Not, let me put you into my model and we'll set it and forget it. Let's build a portfolio deliberately for you that weaves into your overall financial situation. And that's why at Friedman Financial, we know where everything is and what everything is worth in your financial life. I know more than just your investment portfolio. When you come in for your annual review, you know that I'm going to sit with you and go through your entire net worth, what you have in your 401k, what money's in the bank, any annuities you might own, what the value is of your house, the mortgages that you hold, the credit card debt, hope you don't have that, but the credit card debt that you might have, other types of debt you might own. Maybe you own a second piece of property. Maybe you have stock options, whatever it is. We know where everything is, so that when we are giving you advice, you know that the advice is coming from a much larger set of knowledge points. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. And if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll schedule a free initial consultation for you, have you in our office so that we can talk about what is best for your financial future. We'd love to do that, but I'd love to have you stick around. I've got more to share with you. There's some new rules regarding dollar limitations for retirement plans for 2019. I want to share that with you and more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in segment number four, which means that is the last segment of the day. I know you're upset. I know you're sad, but trust me, I'll be back next Sunday. I'll be back the Sunday after. And I'll be back for many more Sundays to come, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. When we last left you, I was talking about the importance of making sure that you understand what is in your investment portfolio and that you're not subject to some significant tax impacts, tax costs, tax liabilities that will could impact your portfolio if you're not smart about understanding what you own and how you choose to invest in the month of November and December. This is going to be an expensive month for a lot of people, and they won't realize it until it's too late, unless they do something now. You want to be sure you've got all of your ducks in order. People are talking about, you know, well, there's a new tax law. I can't deduct this. I can't deduct that. I got this new personal exemption. The personal exemption's gone. I got this new expanded standard deduction, all that. Folks, all of the stuff that changed within the tax code is nothing compared to what the impact of capital gain distributions could be to your tax situation come April. So if you don't understand what capital gain distributions are, if you're wondering whether you're impacted, if you want someone to take a good look at your portfolio, please do me a favor. Just call me, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. It's going to be a challenging year this year. We've already had a challenging year, both ups and downs in 2018. What do I think the prospects for 2019 and 2020 hold? Well, I'm an optimist. Folks, the economy's great. People have jobs. There's plenty of cash around for investment and for companies to invest in people, invest in infrastructure, invest in a lot of stuff. But there's also some problems that exist, and they always put some hiccups along the way. Now that we have will have in 2019 a more balanced Congress, does that help? Will that help? I don't know. Who knows? But I do know this. It'll be interesting. And you'll hear about the bad news. No one's going to tell you about the good things that are happening in Washington. That doesn't sell newspapers. But just the worst of the worst usually shows up. We got to remain positive. I remain positive. I think positively about what you're doing and how you can achieve your financial life goals. At Friedman Financial, the big thing that we do is make sure that we take everything from a financial planning first approach. When we work with you, we want to know where everything is and what everything is worth. We schedule a free initial consultation, and I extend that to anybody here on the radio that listens to us on the radio. Give our office a call. We're happy to meet with you, schedule some time. But we want to know where everything is and what everything is worth before we ever make a recommendation for you. Someone emailed me this past week, and they said to me, Mark, I just inherited $30,000, and it's more money than I've ever had before in my life. What should I do with it? And I talked to them on the phone and I said, you know, generally investing $30,000 through my offices, we're not the best resource for you for that. But let me give you some places where you can go and some things to do. But before I told him how to invest that $30,000, I asked him a few questions. I said, well, tell me about your financial situation right now. And he says to me, well, I work in a printing company. I make about $50,000 a year. I'm living in an apartment right now, hoping to buy a house. I have a girlfriend, hoping to get married next year. Tell me about your savings. What do you have in the bank? He says, I got about $2,200 in the bank. You have any credit cards? Yep, I got about $6,000 in credit cards. And do you have any? And we're just going through these questions. And I said, honestly, I said, as much as you might think you want to invest that $30,000, your $30,000 is best suited to do a few things. Number one, take some money out and pay off your credit cards and never keep credit card debt ever again. Number two, take the rest of that money and stick it in the bank. Now, I want some of that money to sit in your checking account, not $2,000 to sit in your checking account. Why don't you keep $8,000 to $10,000 in your checking account? Then take the rest of it and go buy a money market account Many banks, many regional banks right now are offering money market rates at 2%. That's pretty darn good. And he says to me, yeah, but the market could make me so much more money. I said, yeah, but you just told me that you're hoping to get married. You live in an apartment. You may want to buy a house. You can't take any risk with this money right now. You're going to need this money because if you don't have this money, you know what you're going to do? You're going to put it back on a credit card and you're going to build yourself up with debt. Now, that's not the answer he was hoping for. He was hoping that I would just give him some stock tip that could turn his $60,000 or $30,000 into $300,000. That's not good advice. I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm trying to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what we do. But here's some financial advice that you may really appreciate, because come 2019, if you're a participant in retirement plans, you may be pleased to know that you're allowed to add a little bit more than you have been in the past. Now, 401k plan. Many people have a 401k plan. That's the opportunity for you to put money aside on a pre-tax basis. Let's say you make $1,000 a week and you say, I want to take $100 of my $1,000 a week and put it into the company 401k plan. That means $100 will get invested on your behalf. You get to choose the investments. You won't pay any tax on that $100 until you take the $100 out, which would be later, after age 59 and a half. What it also means is that instead of getting paid, having to pay taxes, federal and state taxes on $1,000, you only have to pay federal and state taxes on $900. So you allow this money to grow. When you put money into a 401k plan, you get to choose your investment options. Your company might offer a match, but whether they offer a match or not, it's still a great way for you to have access and access to investments that allow you to participate in the growth and the future of the economy. Last year, the maximum amount that you could put into a 401k plan, actually, the amount that you could put in for 2018 was $18,500. Now, some people might say, $18,500, I'm only making $25,000 a year. I can't put that much in. I get that. But everybody has different income levels, and those that can max out, that want to put in as much as they possibly can, this year that number was $18,500. Next year it goes to $19,000. So a little bit of a boost. But also, if you're over the age of 50, if you're over the age of 50, and I know that the vast majority of folks that are listening to this radio show on a Sunday morning are over the age of 50, you have the ability to also do what's called a catch-up. Not catch-up, that comes out of the Heinz bottle, a catch-up provision, which allows you to put in an extra $6,000. So this year in total, $18,500 and $6,000 was $24,500. Next year, you'll be able to put in up to $25,000 into the plan. Now, a couple other things to know. If you regularly contribute to an IRA or a Roth IRA, that number you used to be able to put in $5,500 if you were under the age of 50. That now increases to $6,000 for 2019. Catch-up limitation for those over age 50 still stays at $1,000. So the most, if you're 52 years old, the most you can put in as an IRA contribution is $7,000. Now, here's something that's important to know. You may make a contribution into your IRA, assuming you meet eligibility requirements, up until the time you file your taxes in 2019. Which means if you wanted to make that $5,500 contribution to your IRA and you didn't do it by the end of this calendar year, you still have up to the time you file your taxes to do it for 2018. You just have to make sure that it is noted properly when you send your check-in that it was a previous year contribution rather than a current year contribution. So those are some of the big ones. Those are some of the big numbers that come out of from the retirement side. A couple other things that are of interest. As you well know, Social Security gets taken out of your paycheck when you go to work. It's called that FICA check. You know, you get a FICA. They take out both Social Security and Medicare. Well, this year, the number was you would have Social Security or FICA taxes taken out up to $128,000 in earnings. So if you made $150,000, you would notice that the amount allocated to Social Security contributions would stop getting pulled from your check once you hit $128,000. Next year, that jumps to $132,000. The other thing that is of interest to many people have talked about saying, well, I want to take Social Security early. I'm thinking about taking Social Security at age 62 or 63. Well, you all know that you're going to get a reduced benefit from what your full retirement age would be. Let's say you were supposed to get $1,000 a month at age 66. If you take it at 62, you're not going to get $1,000. You're going to get $700. And some people will say, well, that's great, Mark. It's money now. I mean, I want to have the money now. Think about 700 times the number of years until I get to 66. That'd be a great thing to do. Understand that the magic number for Social Security is 82 to 83 years old. If you live past 82 or 83, it doesn't matter. You beat the system if you live past 82 or 83. It's all based on a break even that's somewhere around there, depending upon the time that you take it. 82 or 83, if you live beyond that, you're beating the system. However, where you begin to lose the game and 82 and 83 doesn't work is if you start taking Social Security at 62 and 63 and decide to go back to work. They just announced this year for 2019, if you make more than $17,640, $1 in benefits will be withheld for every $2 in earnings above the limit. So you'll start to pay back your Social Security. So that doesn't make sense to take Social Security, go to work, and then find yourself having to pay it back. That's kind of silly. And there's no takesies backsies in Social Security. You either start taking it or you don't. So be very careful before you start to begin drawing your benefit. Some things to be careful about. That is very, very important. And by the way, if you've been paying into Social Security over time, the maximum Social Security benefit that anybody can collect, I don't care whether you made $1 million, $10 million, or $175,000, or $130,000. If you've been paying at least to the Social Security taxable wage base, that amount that I talked to you about, that $132,000 of what it'll be next year, if you've been making that or more for a number of years, the most that you'll be able to collect is $2,861 per month. That's the most. Doesn't matter whether you made $1 million or $150,000, everyone is eligible for those people are eligible for the maximum amount, which is $2,861. And lastly, with rules that are coming out this year, this is something that does not change, but still people think that they can gift to their children or others. The gifting limit is $10,000 that you can gift to your kids. That number is now $15,000. It's been $15,000 last year, too, and it'll be $15,000 in 2019. If you file jointly, if you're married and file jointly, you can give $30,000 without having to file any type of gift tax reporting. Now, how many people have those kind of resources around to just lay out $15,000 to each of their kids? There are plenty, but there's not everybody. But I'm just letting you know that as we begin to think about, well, if I write a check for $12,000 to my grandson or to my nephew or to my child or to any person that I know, there's no reporting, there's no tax liability, nothing. If you just write a check, it's that simple. You can do that. It's $15,000. Lots of information that we shared for you today. We've talked about the markets, the volatility of the markets. We talked about the importance of asset allocation, the reason why having a well-balanced portfolio is going to help you through these volatile times in the marketplace. We talked about a report that came out of Andy Friedman, not someone related to me, but someone that writes about the Washington insiders. And he talked about what's coming for the following the 2000 midterm elections, what's next to come. He did say that the next few weeks leading up to that December 7th date, when the government's going to decide whether they're going to shut down or not, or whether they can fund their budget. Could be a volatile time in the next few weeks, so be careful there. Be sure you take a visit to all of your mutual funds that you own in non-retirement accounts and make sure you understand what the capital gain distributions might be on each of these funds and determine whether that tax is greater than the gain or loss that you might have in your fund. And then you'll have to make a decision. Do I want to pay the tax or do I want to try to limit the tax liability on this investment? Got to be careful because we don't know what the next few weeks of the market are going to be. It's always all over the place, always surprises, always something interesting. And I try to deliver them all to you in a language, financial advice, in a language you can understand. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, give me a call at my office, 978 978- 531-8108. I will be here next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. with more Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. Have a great day. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.